Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Empowering Dietitians podcast, where each week I dive into a specific topic to help you feel more confident and connected to your work as a dietitian. In this episode, I'm starting off 2021 and season two of the podcast with a deep dive into some of the practices I use personally and with my dietitian clients to feel super clear and confident about where we are heading with our goals. So if you're feeling lost or confused, conflicted about which direction you want to go in your career, overwhelmed or on the verge of burnout, keep on listening. Happy New Year! I am so excited to be back to podcasting and at the same time grateful to have had the time off to transition out of my day job into my business full time. I spent time over the holidays doing more administrative work, laying low, and now I'm really looking forward to hitting the ground running with new episodes, new offers in my business, and new projects. One of the things I'm working on right now is finding my routine, now that I'm fully self-employed and working from home. I'm figuring out when I prefer to do work, how much work I'm going to tackle in a day, and where my boundaries are going to be. I'm exploring what breaks are going to look like and what kind of routine in the morning and evening serves me best. These are things I encourage us all to do regularly. Check back in with yourself. How intentional are you being with how you spend your time? How much do you mindlessly do out of habit? What are the routines and rhythms of your day like, and are they still serving you? This is great to do when you have a big change in your life, like I did in transitioning to my business full time. And also important to do periodically, even if nothing is really different, because we are always evolving, right? Always changing, and our lives need to ebb and flow with us. The thing is, we don't often slow down to reflect on who we are as humans, who we are as dietitians. I've been thinking a lot about the concept of professional identity because it isn't something that's emphasized much at all in our field. Yet, in my 3 quarters of grad school for clinical mental health counseling, not even a full year yet, I have had to write numerous papers and discussion posts about my professional identity as a counselor. They started off in my very first class, getting us to think about who we are and who we see ourselves being as mental health counselors. What drove us to the field, who we want to help and why, what theories we feel drawn to. We are also taught about core values and ethics of the profession that are expected to shape our professional identities as well. And we're expected to watch over time as our personal values reconcile with professional ones to shape who we are individually as well as who we are collectively. It's beautiful. And it's missing from dietetics. As a result, dietitians come to me feeling lost, confused. They don't know who they are as professionals. They don't know who or where they want to specialize. They question whether they even made the right decision in becoming a dietitian. Maybe you can relate to some of that. And all of this contributes to the imposter syndrome, the almost existential identity crisis of these dietitians struggling to find meaning and purpose in their professional lives. If you can relate, please know that you are not alone. I'd say that our profession is young, but the field of mental health counseling is actually technically younger, so that isn't quite the issue. It's more that our profession today is so enormously different from what it was 50 or 100 years ago. And our collective identity hasn't caught up to speed. We're still operating from an outdated perception of what a dietitian does and who a dietitian is or can be. And our identity, our ethical guidelines, and our professional support are lagging behind. These deficits need to be addressed in our field. We have potential to move forward stronger than we have ever been, more effective and inclusive, cultivating a more connected, purpose-driven, and confident community of practitioners. But we're going to have to do this the grassroots way. You don't have to wait for the academy to wake up and recognize that we're facing this identity crisis. you can start cultivating your own identity right now so that you can feel clear and confident and connected again. So you can remember why you became a dietitian in the first place and re-spark that passion. That's a huge part of what I do one-on-one with clients. And while I can't guide you all individually through this podcast, through this episode, I'm going to give you a few tools that you can use to get yourself started. Because although there really isn't anything different between December 31st and January 1st, except the label we've given them, a new year can be a gentle reminder to pause and step back and reflect on who you are and where you're going. So before you set a resolution or a goal or a word of the year or an intention, I encourage you to take some time in self-reflection to explore your own personal identity and core values, along with drafting a vision for yourself. Some people find it better to explore their values before crafting the vision. Other people feel a little lost and overwhelmed thinking about what their values are, and so working on the vision first can bring values to their consciousness that they struggle to tap into before. So I'm going to give you ideas for both in this episode, and you can decide which one to start with, or reach out to me. Again, I guide dietitians through this process all the time. Now, vision work is pretty straightforward, so we're going to start there. First, I should note that you don't want to do this when your anxiety is peaked, or you just finished a long day at work, or your over-analytical brain is on hyperdrive. Try to find a time where you can relax beforehand. Really tap into that creative and intuitive side of you. Turn your phone on Do Not Disturb or turn it off entirely. Play some chill music, light a candle, get comfy. Now think. Where do you want to be in the future? How do you want to feel? The less confident you are in crafting a vision for yourself, the less far out you want to go. So if you're feeling as lost as I did when I hit my quarter-life crisis back in 2016, maybe you only draft a vision that's a few months out. The more clear you are with your goals, go a little farther. I'd say 1 to 5 years. If you do want to go farther than that, you can, but I'd encourage you at that point to do two visions. One super far out, maybe 10 years, and then one that's a little bit more within reach to help guide you there. When you pick your time frame, I want you to think about what your life looks like at this point in time. What are you doing? Who are you with? How do you feel? What have you achieved at this point in time that you've chosen? What are you working on? It's okay if you don't think it's completely realistic. It's okay if you aren't feeling super confident in your ability to get there. I mean, maybe don't describe something super out there, like writing about how you're going to be a billionaire by June of this year. But what I mean is, you can stretch the limits of your comfort zone in this activity a bit. Jot down some notes, and then I want you to bring this vision to life. You can make an old school vision board with magazine cutouts, circle like the year 2000, or turn to Pinterest to create a digital one. Collect photos and quotes that capture this vision and inspire you. Or paint, draw, write yourself a letter from future you describing what your life is like in this future time. You can get creative. Just make something concrete. Don't simply leave this in your head. Put it somewhere you can see and reflect on it regularly. Now, what themes emerged from this vision work? What's important to you? This can help inform your core values. You probably have many values, and they rise and fall in their priority depending on the day or your mood or the situation. Values are never inherently right or wrong or good or bad. They're never static. They're highly individual. I do an activity with my clients to help them uncover what some of their core values are, kind of what their top five priorities are. But it's not an activity that you can do by yourself, so instead of teaching you that, I can't really talk you through it on here. I will say that you can find online some databases of core values, some lists of different values that people may hold. And you can look at those lists. And if you had to choose 10 from that list that you find, which 10 would you choose? Don't overthink it. It's really easy to overthink this one. Just 10 that you choose. Do it once based off of what you aspire to. So the list of words or values that you really want to have placed in high priority in your life. But then make sure you do it again based off of realistically where you are and what you are prioritizing now. So if you really aspire to value, I don't know, let's say time with your family, and you haven't been able to because you've been really busy with grad school and your job and everything else going on, family may not currently be one of your core values or your top priorities. But if that doesn't sit well with you, if you want it to be and it's not, then that's something to take note of. So are you happy with this second list of 10, this realistic list of what you happen to be prioritizing now? Is there anything that feels out of alignment with who you are or who you see yourself being in your future vision? Now, how can you bring your life and your values into better alignment with that vision? How can you make your vision and values meet? One of the practices that I do personally and with my clients is intention setting. And it is a fantastic way of taking your values and vision and holding them close to your heart. They're also something I set every year, as well as typically on a monthly basis. Now, I'm not personally a big fan of resolutions. I don't really have anything against them theoretically. You could easily look at my intention setting practice and say that it's little more than a resolution by a different name. But the way resolutions tend to play out winds up feeling surface level to me. A resolution, like a goal, tends to be very specific. Someone sets a resolution to work out more, or quit smoking, or learn how to meditate. These are all actionable. And they are often measurable. Sound familiar? They're things that you can track. Now, as dietitians, we are taught to value trackable, SMART goals. Everything must be measured, assessed, monitored, and evaluated. We need accountability. We need proof of efficacy. We rely on the scientific method. The more specific, the better, right? Those strategies are great for goals. But I want to challenge you to think of a resolution more like an intention and less like a goal. Goals are too specific. They're too zoomed in. And I know, as many of you are fellow type A perfectionist dietitians like myself, you tend to be detail oriented and you're not really the big picture people. You zoom in, you get specific, you focus and you fixate, right? Me too. But I've learned that the focusing and the fixating, that's actually like step number 4, not step number 1. Because first we need to know who we are, that vision and value work we just spoke about. Those are steps 1 and 2. And then we need to see the big picture of our life. That's step 3. Only then can we concern ourselves with the detailed goals to help us get there. That's why in January, if you're going to set anything, if you want to feel focused and connected to your work as a dietitian, I want to encourage you to set intentions. Intentions are not specific. They're not measurable. They're not even really achievable or time-bound. Intentions are vague. They're broad. They're tied to feelings, not facts. And they're not achievable because they aren't some destination at which you suddenly arrive and then you're done. They're process-oriented. They're focused on how you live your life and how you consistently are moving toward the direction of this intention. Another way to think of it is that intentions are like your North Star. They're always a little bit ahead of you, guiding you, shining down on you, but no matter how far you travel, you don't quite grasp them. Intentions can really be anything. They can be a single word. They can be a full passage. They can be a song, a feeling, or a mantra. Intentions can take the form of songs or letters or pictures or little reminders jotted into your phone's notepad app. I've spoken on here before about how I use horoscopes to set my intentions. and I encourage my clients to do the same. Some of my clients do choose not to use horoscopes, and they've come up with beautifully creative ways to tap into their intuition without astrology if that happens to go against their belief systems. But for the most part, I like to lean on astrology. I do it because we are so darn science-brained. Our type A perfectionism likes things orderly, and it tries to make sense of everything. Astrology is a little bit out of reach. It doesn't make perfect sense to the rational brain. And it encourages us as dietitians to stop overthinking and start switching over into the feeling part of our beings. Now, again, this isn't a practice I can really walk you through on a podcast because it is so dependent on your individual horoscope and your individual birth chart in astrology. I will also say that I have one client who is big into Enneagrams. And although her horoscope didn't really resonate much when she was reading through it, she then looked up which sign is most associated with her Enneagram number, and she read that horoscope, and it clicked much better. So I bring that up specifically to say there are 1,001 ways to approach this. There's not a right or wrong way. I don't think that just because you happen to be a Virgo birth sign that you have to get tied to the Virgo horoscope. We can have a little fun with it. There are, again, so many ways to approach this, and we just have to find what resonates deeply within us as individuals and go with that. Also, as a side note, speaking of Enneagrams, I'm probably not even saying it right at this point. If anyone can help me figure out what my number is, please reach out to me. I feel like it's the kind of thing I'd get super into because I love astrology and Myers-Briggs and all those little assessments and self-awareness things, but I can't for the life of me figure it out. So, side note, if anyone can help, I would be very much appreciative of that. So, in the meantime, I'm going to stick with my astrology, and I'm not going to get into the like really nitty-gritty of horoscopes and astrology, but I will give you a quick rundown and a few resources and astrologers to kind of look into on your own. Now, first, if you're like rolling your eyes right now, astrology gets a really bad rep because we're used to pretty simplistic horoscopes. I remember logging on to, I think it was like horoscopes.com or something when I was, 13 years old. And clicking on Virgo, because that's what I am, and reading my daily horoscope. And every single Virgo who logged on that day on the planet got the same message, one that read something that sounded more like a detailed version of a fortune cookie than anything that was relevant to my life. That's not what I'm talking about here. First of all, Virgo is only one part of my chart in astrology. It's my sun sign. And it's the sign that you probably already know based on the day that you were born. It's often representative of our core beings, and so many people relate to the qualities of their sun sign. But there are so many other parts of your chart that uniquely influence you. So if you feel like you don't quite resonate with your sun sign, take a look at your whole chart. You may find that a different sign is more prominent for you. And therefore, a horoscope for a different sign might be worth looking at when you go to set your intentions. I've started using the app CoStar, that's Co-Star, after my dietetic intern introduced me to it. And it does a really, really wonderful job of unpacking your full chart to help you understand different aspects of it and how it influences you. Because if you're not super into astrology, which I really only scratch the surface with it, it can be really confusing to look at that chart. So it helps to have kind of the explanations all written out for you. My main astrologer, though, is Chani Nicholas. She also has a new app, though it's only available for iPhone currently, and I believe you have to pay for it. But if you sign up for her email newsletter, you'll get horoscopes, basically intentions, every single month. These are beautifully written passages, almost like mantras, that many of my clients pull from directly when they're writing their intentions. They're inspirational lessons and reminders that align with our vision and values to keep at the forefront of our minds as we move through the month. That's the key. Whether it's a song or a quote or a horoscope-inspired mantra like I use, your intention is this loose, fluid expression of what you want your focus to be as you move ahead. It's what you can remind yourself of to keep connected to your vision and values, and it's what can help bring you more into alignment with who you are at your core. Maybe your intention is about letting go of people who no longer serve you, or believing in yourself even when it's hard. Maybe it's a reflection on your mindset around money, or friendship, or love, or work. It's your North Star, remember, that thing you turn to when you're feeling lost or uncertain. Resolutions so often fail because they're surface. They don't go deep into who we are and what we want in life. They don't connect to our core values and vision. You can set goals, smaller goals if you want, goals to help you work on some of these intentions and values and visions in more concrete ways. But don't forget to take the time to explore those foundational elements first. Take some time to reflect on who you are, what is important to you, where you're headed, and then set intentions to remind you of that direction and those values often. You don't have to feel lost and confused and overwhelmed in 2021. You just need to find your guiding star. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Empowering Dietitians podcast. If you enjoy these episodes, it would mean the world to me if you could share it with your dietitian friends, and if you listen on Apple Music, leave a rating and review. This helps the podcast reach more dietitians so that we can really create a collective of dietitians who feel confident and connected both to their work and each other. You are not alone. And as always, if you're looking for that extra level of support, check out my Empowering Dietitians Supervision Services at www.empoweringdietitians.com/supervision.